It's Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean here in Hockey Central, presented by Lexus on the Park, talking about Team Canada's big win over Team USA in the women's hockey competition today. It's feisty out there, isn't it?
Well, I think they're both matched pretty well evenly, but sometimes goaltending trumps that, and I think in watching a few of the women's games earlier this week, both teams like to play physical, which in a women's game you wonder how that is, but they're playing pretty hard out there. I think it's going to be a good test, and I do believe it'll be those two in the final.
Boy, it's been a long time since you watched an Olympic Games, isn't it?
And you're really going out on a limb saying those two will be in the finals. That's quite a prediction.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes I'm the master of the obvious.
So how are you doing now, knowing that you could easily be a part of this if obviously you were healthy, but you're not? Does that make it tougher watching it, knowing that it's not old age that caught up to you? It was unfortunately an eye injury.
Well, you know, that's the facts of life. I mean, I don't sit there and sit at home watching the Olympics or watching the announcement of the team or watching games now and look back and go, woe is me, I should have been there, I could be doing this, I could be doing that. It's pretty much from the outset, I needed to have a mindset where you kind of need to extricate yourself from the situation and just worry about your health, and your job is second, and if you're able to do that again ever, you know, so be it, but you need to worry about your health and for the next 40 years as opposed to the next couple of years. And, you know, I'm sure once the games start, I'll look back. And, you know, you're always going to second guess and look back, I could have been there or whatever. But, you know what, I'm past that point in my life and career now.
Chris, you know, you're still close. You know the players very well and the teams. And you look at goaltending, defense, forwards. Is there any area, and you've lived it, you went through it, the highs and lows of the Olympic goal pursuit. Is there any concerns you have about the team, not naming names, but positionally or style or the fact they've got to play in the big, is there any concerns, the big ice?
No, I think when you look at the roster for Canada, you know, I think goalie would be the question mark of, is there a goalie that's going to be hot? I think Carey Price has played pretty well the couple weeks leading up to the Olympic break. Luongo was hurt for a lot of it. You know, I think he's played relatively well considering his team's been getting walloped the last couple weeks. You know, so I mean, I think one of them will ultimately run with the ball and become the number one and will be the guy. I think both of them could be the guy. I like the way Carey Price is always square to the puck. As a defenseman, it's very easy to play in front of those types of guys because you always know where the puck is going to wind up from a rebound perspective. You know, I think as you look at their goalies, their defense, and their forwards, I like all the selections. I think they've all been taken for one reason or another. They've all had very good years. You're always going to leave off guys that people are going to second guess and question. Look at 2010. We won, and they're still second guessing.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, you're never going to make everybody happy. But at the end of the day, if you're successful in your goal and that's winning a gold medal, then you know what? It doesn't matter what other people say. You know, the right guys were chosen for the right reason.
I will say this: if something goes haywire or off the rails early on, it's not necessarily a bad thing for Canada, because 2002 you also had the opening game against Sweden and then the change in goal, and you came back. So Team Canada has certainly shown an ability to rally, but they've also struggled on the international ice, and things keep coming back to that. If you have advice to this defensive core, what would it be to the likes of Shea Weber, Drew Doughty and company?
Well, I think you look at pretty much all of them to a man have all played in international competition on the big ice. And that right away is helps them. They understand it's not about the outside of the rink. It's about protecting that inner two-thirds, you know, from dot to dot. That's where all the scoring chances, all the meat of the game is done. And when you look at European teams, they let teams work around on that outside, but they protect and they are very tight in that area in the middle of the ice. And that allows them, A, to not be running out of position and not create holes and seams for other teams to pass the puck through or for players to set up in. And it also allows them to play a very solid team defensive game, which can also quickly translate into transition and moving the puck up in the offense and getting on the attack. It'll be interesting to see. I think transition and the transition game will be critical for all the teams, and the team that does it the best, I think, will win.
Karlsson has scored for Sweden and a power play goal to lead the Czech Republic 1-0 in the first period. It's Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, Doug McLean on Hockey Central, presented by Lexus on the Park, chatting with two-time Olympic gold medalist Chris Pronger.
We had Chris Draper on the other day, and we want to throw the same question to you, Prongs, in terms of 2006. What was the number one reason why you guys weren't successful in Italy?
I don't know if there was a number one. I think there was a number of contributing factors. I don't necessarily know if we gelled together. You look at the back end, there were a lot of guys taken because other guys were injured. You look at the players, it was a weird setup for a team and a weird locker room. It was weird. I don't know. When you go in a locker room, you get a sense and you get a feel of, there was a lot of first timers. There was a lot of guys. It was like a changing of the guard type deal where 98, it was a very old team. 2002 was a good mixture. And then 06, it was just a weird, there was a weird vibe about the team right from the get-go. You're just, nobody felt comfortable. You know, it was just weird. I can just say that it didn't get a very good feeling in the locker room. I didn't get it. It was odd. It was an odd team. There was a lot of guys chosen for different reasons, and it was just one of those teams where nothing went right from the outset. We struggled in every game, and even the games we won, we struggled to really come together and play that team game and the systems that the coaching staff put into place. You talk about adversity and 2010, we had adversity as well, and changing goalies and losing to the U.S. and having to deal with all the question marks. And sometimes that's good. It's a good kick in the pants and a wake-up call that, hey, you know what, you can read all the quotes in the paper and everybody backpatting and telling you how good you are, but at the end of the day, you got to go out there and play and perform and produce like you are the best in the world.
And if I'm not mistaken, Joe Sakic was the team captain, but... And no one will ever argue that he wasn't one of the best captains, you know, but not overly vocal or not overly...
Yeah, but I don't necessarily know if that was the case either. Adam Foot was there. Him and Joe obviously been together for years in Colorado. And there wasn't a lot of chemistry and cohesiveness. It's not to say that we didn't all get along. It's, you know what, in a tournament like that, 2 weeks, I just don't think we gelled in time. You know, we didn't really get, there wasn't a lot of stuff going on at the training camp in 06 where I think it added to our team game. You know, it was, as I said, a changing of the guard. You look at all the guys that were there in 02 and 98, virtually none of them were there in 06. So, with the exception, I think, of Joe, myself, and Marty, and I think Blakey and Footy. I mean, other than that, I mean, there wasn't a lot of guys there. So
did you change something in 2010 to make sure that same type of experience didn't happen again?
Because you guys did.
The coach got to know the goalie's name in 2010, which was a big help.
It was a rollover to Stevie Yzerman. It was, you know, a fresh perspective and a fresh look. You look at, they started... In 2010, they started taking, much like now, the tandems and the line combinations to have that chemistry going right into the tournament where guys are comfortable playing with other players and they understand where they like to puck, where they like to be on the ice, all those types of things that sometimes are very difficult to grasp in a two-week tournament, especially like 06, where you, I mean, I hadn't played with hardly any of these guys ever before. You know, other than the three Tampa guys, Richards, LeCavalier, and St. Louis, I don't know if many guys had ever played together before. So it was a different year for that as well.
Chris, a lot of people are talking about the big ice, and the thing that I've said, unless Canada's defense get heavily involved in the offense, I think we're going to have a tough time. So I'm sort of counting on them doing that. From your recollection of the big ice, that it's surprising that the distance from the blue line to the goal is shorter than it is in the NHL. Is that an advantage for a guy like you shooting the puck?
Yeah, I think so. I think you look at the guys that they have on the blue line now on this team. They've got a very offensive-minded player with a guy that is defensive, you know. So that's going to equate into, and I know it, talking to Steve in 2010 and hearing some comments this time around, they want these guys being active. They want them going up the ice. They want them joining the rush. You know, that's one of the reasons why they got eight defensemen, is they want these guys skating constantly. And, you know, there's going to be no time on the ice for them to rest. And, you know, I think that's going to only push the pace. I mean, you listen to Mike Babcock talk, they want to push the pace to make it as fast as humanly possible.
Well, in hearing that, I'm surprised that P.K. Subban's the seventh guy then.
Well, that doesn't mean that he's not going to play. What if they dress eight defensemen and roll four sets of lines?
Do you think they do that?
Well, they might do that. I mean,
if they don't score, they might.
I think if it becomes an issue,
if they're not getting offense from the back end, PK will play.
Correct. Well, I can tell you from '98, we were playing against the Czech Republic in the semifinal game. Tom McKinnis sat on the bench for a whole period, and then all of a sudden, they scored their goal in the third period. And it was like, all right, Al, we need a goal. Go ahead. And it was like, okay, he went from playing 30 minutes a game to sitting on the bench for a whole period. And they asked him to go out and score a goal. I mean, it's difficult to ask a guy who's used to being in the flow and being in the rhythm of a game, but all of a sudden, go, okay, you haven't played in 20 minutes, but okay, let's go. Go get us a goal.
Who was that coach that would do that?
Same guy that filled out the shootout thing.
No, I'm not going. I don't criticize coaches here unless he's from Vancouver on this show.
Well, he did coach in Vancouver for a while.
By the way, how's the book going? Like, if I hear any more from this Sean Pronger book, like, seriously.
Oh. Bestseller still.
You're in there a couple times, Doug.
I know. I mean, I'm his favorite GM of all time.
You banished him to the minors so many times, he just couldn't get enough of you.
Nine times I sent the poor
bugger. What's your podium prediction with Chris Pronger on Hockey Central? Gold, silver, bronze.
I do think Canada's going to get over the hump in international competition.
All right.
On the big ice.
And then who do they beat?
I think they will win gold. I think they're going to have to beat Sweden. I think the U.S. gets a bronze medal.
Berglund, really?
I think the U.S. is going to beat Russia in the bronze game.
No Russia prongs.
No.
Berglund just scored to make it 2-0.
Thanks for the update, Nick.
Yeah, it's part of my gig.
Who are Russia's defensemen?
Bilov from Edmonton's their best.
Markov, Emelin. Yeah, you're right. But their forwards.
I'm just asking. I mean, they got great forwards up front, but.
Yeah. Tell you what scares me, Prongs, about them is Bobrovsky and Varlamov have been awfully good.
Yeah.
And no, that would scare me a little bit.
Yeah.
Are you surprised Luongo's not starting to open up this tournament just based on the fact that he closed it out in 2010?
Not necessarily. I think Price has been the hotter of the two goalies the last, you know, 2-3 weeks. First star in the NHL, I think, was it for the month or the last week. So, you know, I think he wants to get a look at him and, you know, get... He has zero experience, so this gets him some experience and allows him to kind of get comfortable with the guys and with the system. And you know, and then I don't know what they're going to do in game two. Maybe he's the number one and they roll him. I don't know.
Luongo is going in for game two.
Yeah, he is.
Things can always change, though, so who knows?
Chris, Darren asked yesterday a question about who on the back end did I think would really take a big step for Canada and be a real important guy. I picked Pietrangelo. You see him a lot firsthand in St. Louis. Thoughts on him as a young defenseman in this tournament?
Well, he's very, very gifted offensively. He makes a great first pass. Always, I mean, it's amazing watching this kid. Always has his head up. Always. Always scanning the ice surface, always looking for passing lanes, looking for holes to jump through. You know, if you go back and look at any tape, it's amazing how canny he is with the puck on his stick, yet always has his head up, looking for a lane, moving his feet. I think he's going to have a big tournament. I think he's excited to be over there and be a part of the Canadian experience and be a part of this team. And you know, he's got some comfort level with Jay Bouwmeester on his left. So having that knowledge of your partner already, I think, is going to be key for him as a young player going over there first time. He doesn't have to worry about gaining chemistry with his partner. Yeah. He just has to worry about playing the game. And they're going to read off one another very well. So I think he's going to be excellent.
Boy, retirement's made you softer. You're not as argumentative as you used to be. You used to be like, just come on here and just slash and whack.
But there's no, and you meet him at
Nacho moments right now.
I used to meet him at a morning skate, and he was nasty at me.
He's nasty. Now he's friendly.
Yeah. You get that. Pat Morris really affected him when he was playing. Pat was always in his ear and saying, getting him fired up, and now he's away from Pat, and it's changed him.
You've got to ask the right questions. You've got to ask the right questions. You can't. You got to set it on a tee for me, boys.
Never used to. It'd be, hi, Chris, and then you just rip me apart.
And one other question. The reason you come on today, Mike Brophy was busy or what?
Well, you know what, guys? I thought I'd throw a bone to you and see how you guys
did. enjoy the hockey tournament.
We need it. Trust me, we need it.
Good continued good health, bud.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the time.